Hello, welcome to The Moment That Made Me. This time,
I didn't really see my career going any further than driving big army green trucks up and down the MY1M. When I got assigned to Northern Ireland, I was away from all of my friends. So initially I was quite, I was quite disheartened.
A frustrated soldier who'd already quit the army once finally discovers his true ambition.
When I was a kid, I used to take fireworks apart and figure all that sort of stuff out. And it just intrigued me. I wanted to be that guy and I wanted to put that bomb disposal suit on.
The moment that made George Cross holder Kim Hughes happened in September 1999.
I was a private soldier I was 13 Transport Squadron based in Catrick. And I was assigned to the bomb disposal teams as their driver in Northern Ireland. I was in a place called Girdwood in West Belfast. I was just a driver within the Royal Logistical.
How long had you been in the army at this point?
About 2 years, give or take. Long enough just to kind of find my feet in that role before I was assigned to the team out there.
So you're deployed to drive this bomb disposal team in Northern Ireland. This is autumn 1999. So it's a year after the Good Friday Agreement. What was it like? Because it wasn't trouble-free at that point.
No, it wasn't. And we were exceptionally busy. Every day we were out on the ground responding to suspect devices, confirmed improvised explosive devices. And it was 6 months solid of being out and about.
And very busy.
Yeah, extremely busy that time. That period was, for us, certainly in West Belfast, most days we were out once or twice a day.
And how were you feeling about it, both when you were told that you were going to Northern Ireland and in those first few weeks there?
To be honest, I was initially disheartened because I was assigned. The way it worked is my squadron were doing the beat-up training for Northern Ireland. I happened to be in Canada on an exercise, so I missed the main effort of that training. So when I got back, my troop was already two-thirds of the way through their Northern Ireland training. So I got essentially told I was going to go and learn how to drive this truck called a Tactica, which was the bomb disposal vehicle. And then when I got assigned to Northern Ireland, I was away from all of my friends. So initially I was quite, I was quite disheartened because I wouldn't be hanging around with the guys, wouldn't be going out on the ground with those, with the teams there and doing what they were doing. So initially, I wasn't over the moon. But then when I interacted with the bomb disposal teams in the early sort of stages of that deployment, I found it was completely the opposite. I was essentially with the cool kids.
And the light bulb moment, the moment that made you, what happened?
Yeah, so it was, again, one of my first deployments out onto the ground in West Belfast. It was almost like being thrown in the deep end out there driving the team. And I was just a driver. I wasn't a part of the bomb disposal team in the sense that I was an ammunition technician or I was operating the robots or anything like that. I essentially drove the team from A to B. And it was only really when the bomb disposal operator put this big bomb disposal suit on and essentially just walked down the road to an improvised explosive device, I was sort of dumbfounded. I didn't really know what he was doing. And then the more questions I asked, the more information and figuring out that this guy was putting his life on the line to return the situation to normal in West Belfast at that time. It just absolutely shocked me. And it shocked me into the point where I wanted to be that guy and I wanted to put that bomb disposal suit on and step away from my career as a driver and essentially go after the ammunition technician's course, which I subsequently later did.
What was it about seeing that made you think that's what I want?
It was, I think it was a mixture of everything. I think although I'd only been a driver for a couple of years at that point, I didn't really see my career going any further than driving big army green trucks up and down the MY1M. And I think it was a mixture of understanding what this individual was doing, understanding how improvised explosive devices work. When I was a kid, I used to take fireworks apart and figure all that sort of stuff out. And it just intrigued me. And knowing that there was something else beyond driving big army green trucks and to learn about, you know, the chemistry behind explosives and why terrorist organizations do what they do and all that sort of jazz, it absolutely intrigued me.
I mean, it's interesting you say you were fascinated with fireworks as a kid, and I think you wrote in your memoir that you kind of stood there and saw it and thought, I could be a soldier and play around with explosives.
Yeah, it was just, it sort of all came together to be able to do that. And you know, there's nothing quite like it, to be honest. It's great work.
So at that moment, you knew what you wanted to be, but you still had to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not something that you can just do overnight. To become an ammunition technician, I mean, there's loads of assessments, selection processes, psychometric evaluations to even be considered to be put forward for the training. And then once you jump through all those hoops, you're back in the classroom for the better part of, you know, 6-7 months, back in school. Learning everything there is to know about ammunition. I mean, you do the ammunition part before you get anywhere near any kind of bomb disposal part, because you need to learn the trade. And it's essentially, you know, back in the classroom, learning how missiles work, grenades work, artillery systems work, ammunition storage, ammunition handling, all of that just so that you can be an ammunition technician by trade. And then from that point on, you then go out into the wider world and learn the trade. And then if you're lucky and fortunate enough, you can move into the sort of bomb disposal world.
In the first half of your training, 10 out of 30 got to go on. So you were part of the minority, and yet you always saw yourself as someone who struggled with school, who struggled with learning.
Yeah, absolutely. I wholeheartedly hold my hand up to the fact that I did struggle with reading and writing and whatnot. And I did struggle when I went back on the course. You know, I consider myself to be more of a practical individual rather than, you know, sitting in a classroom. And it was difficult. And I was fortunate enough that I had fellow trainees on the course that were quite switched on. I mean, I was again fortunate in the sense that as a retrade from the army, internally, I didn't need the GCSEs or A levels that are required now if you were joining straight from being civilian. So I was able to sort of bypass that and just, you know, be loaded onto the course after the selection processes as a retrade soldier. So I didn't need the necessary prerequisite qualifications to get on the course, but I did absolutely struggle. And I had to teach myself, maths. I had to teach myself physics and all that sort of jazz and was helped massively throughout that process.
How then did you get through it? Had something in you changed?
Yeah, I think it was because I wanted it more than anything I've ever wanted. You know, I wanted to be that guy that put the bomb disposal suit on, the guy that was solving the problems for the police and you know, assisting, whether it be Northern Ireland or wherever it may be. And I found as when I was a driver, I didn't really necessarily have that sort of personal drive to be better. And it's only when I saw that individual in a bomb disposal suit that made me realize there was other stuff out there I could be getting after.
Do you think it gave you some kind of determination and actually made you realize something more about your own abilities seeing that moment?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's determination in the sense that, as you've stated there, yeah, to drive forward and to be able to achieve personal goals. But also you've got the peer pressure as well there. You know, you don't want to fail that to go back to your previous career as a failed retrade. So there's that pressure there as well from peers. But I think having that drive and having an end goal to change trades, become an ammunition technician, was something that got me over the line.
I mean, even before you got accepted to train for this, you were showing your determination on, I think, your junior NCO course with a lesson you were asked to prepare.
I was selected for that course whilst in Northern Ireland, so I kind of stepped away from my deployment for, I think, 4 weeks in Northern Ireland, actually, at the logistic unit that was there to attend the junior NCO CADA, and it was over the period where I needed to produce a practical lesson. I didn't really know what to do, and luckily enough, where I was based at that time in Lisbon, there was a bomb disposal detachment there who the guys I had met through my time in West Belfast, and I was umming and ahhing which way to go with my practical lesson, and it was then brought up, you know, maybe do a demolition charge, how to utilize explosives, etc. And the bomb disposal operator at that day took the time out to teach me how to do it properly, watched me go over the lessons 3 or 4 times before I was confident enough to do it myself. And then obviously delivered that on the CADA, and it was very different to, you know, some of the guys were teaching people how to make cups of tea, how to tie laces, because it's all about delivery of instruction and method of instruction rather than the actual content itself. And it's all about camaraderie on those courses. So, you know, when you're all trainees, you know, so when it comes to your time to deliver your lesson, as that's, you know, that bond that you form with the guys, everyone is proactive in asking you questions. Maybe you'll have questions planted so that you know the answers to them, whatever. But certainly when it came to mine, because it was very much practical, it was about blowing stuff up, basically. Everyone was kind of really, really keen to get involved and to get their hands on. So yeah, it went really well.
So from the start of your training, how long was it before you were out on the ground dealing with bombs?
So as I said previously, to even get considered to do any kind of bomb disposal in the improvised sense, you have to be an ammunition technician by trade. You have to go out there into the wider world and learn your trade. And I was only a Lance Corporal by the time I'd passed my training. So I had a couple of years before I could come back on what is known as an upgrading course, which will then allow me to do my bomb disposal course. So yes, I was out and about. I did various tours of Northern Ireland. I went back to Northern Ireland, into Bosnia. I went to Iraq, where I was doing conventional munitions disposal. So destroying conventional munitions, hand grenades, artillery shells, blind ammunition natures that have failed on the range, all that sort of stuff. But the improvised explosive device piece, as an operator, as the guy that puts the bomb disposal suits on, it probably took me about 7 years to get to where I needed to be to do that.
Can you remember your first one?
I do. You know, I do, actually. It's a weird one because I was based in Germany throughout my, from a Lance Corporal to Sergeant, and then posted on promotion to Staff Sergeant. And in Germany, we don't do any improvised explosive device disposal. It's all done by the Germans. So if there's something found on a base, then you deal with it, but there's a lot of hanging around. So what I used to do is I used to come back to the UK and cover duties in the UK to allow the guys to go on leave, to go on courses or whatever it may be. And I was in Aldershot at the bomb disposal troop there, and I responded to a police station call. They had some fireworks that needed picking up as part of an amnesty run. And we weren't really doing much, so we headed across to the police station, and then when we looked at the fireworks, they actually figured out that they were pipe bombs and not fireworks, so had to call and evacuate the whole police station, and it just kind of grew arms and legs from there, which, as you can imagine, the head police officer in that station wasn't overly impressed that his guys had taken in improvised explosive devices and essentially put them in their desk drawers. ready for us to go and pick them up. So it caused some issues, but it was an interesting first task for me out on the ground.
What a career from there. When you reflect on everything you did in Iraq and Afghanistan, earning yourself a George Cross for the more than 100 IEDs you disposed of, does it all hinge on that moment?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I wouldn't have become an instructor at our bomb disposal school. I wouldn't have made the relationships I've made, made the friends I've made, pass the high threat bomb disposal course deployed, if I hadn't have had that moment in Northern Ireland, that sort of condor moment or moment of realization where I saw the bomb disposal operator walk down the road and then instantly wanted that for myself. So none of that would have happened. I mean, where would I have been now? Absolutely no idea. Probably driving for Esso or something like that, I would assume. But yeah, it's essentially a life-altering moment, that period in time of realization of there's something else out there for me, something else I'd like to go and do. I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't have written the books I've written and do all the other stuff that I currently do. But yeah, really, really interesting moment in time.
And you mentioned, you know, you went on to train the generation that followed you. And indeed, your analysis of Taliban bomb-making techniques, it's not just you that's taught that. Many others have taught that. That is quite some legacy there.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, we learn from not just the successes, but we learn from the mistakes of others. In various conflicts, back 40 years, 50 years of conflict in Northern Ireland or terrorism in Northern Ireland through to, things that we've been doing in the Western Balkans through to Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, there's always lessons to be learnt and there's always the training to be passed on. And I was very fortunate that when I certainly came back from my first operational deployment of Afghanistan, where I was able to move into what was known then as the high threat team, to a group of highly specialized instructors to teach the next generation of bomb disposal operators in high threat environments. So I was very fortunate to be able to be part of that team and to pass on certainly the information and the knowledge that I had learned on that first deployment.
And all of this nearly didn't happen, because if we go back right to the very start of your army career, the first time you signed up, you left within weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I fell into the trap of homesickness. I had a girlfriend at the time who convinced me that she needed me more than the army needed me. I found out there was this thing called premature voluntary release, which essentially is like you'll get out of jail free card to leave the army at a certain age, at a certain period of time in your basic training. And I sort of stepped away from it. Subsequently broke up with that girlfriend a couple of weeks later, which wasn't ideal. But and then I had about a year or so bouncing around the place doing labor jobs and before I realized that, the army actually was for me. And I wanted to get back in there. I kind of missed the discipline and the camaraderie of the guys there. And luckily enough, the army took me back.
What kind of person do you think all that experience has made you?
I'd like to say older and wiser. It certainly made me appreciative of effort that is required to get where you want to be in your career, in your life. It's made me more patient within reason. Certainly when recovering from deployments in the likes of Afghanistan, when it's the classic whole army hurry up and wait, get there, and then don't do anything for hours, days, sometimes weeks. So you come back from there with an appreciation for patience. So yeah, it's good. And being a person that's able to pass on that information and pass on that training and that knowledge has certainly pushed away for me.
Kim, it is quite an incredible story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
No, thank you, Patman.